Father, we just offer up this time to come together in your name, to look into your holy word, to teach us by your spirit the truth that will guide us into everlasting life and a path of righteousness. Lord, we're a body of people that make up your body, and we're your espoused bride for an eternal home. We're grateful for this time that we have to gather together to learn of you, that it would teach us to grow us, to be equipped to do your will. We're thankful for this time. In Christ's name, amen. If you would, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Isaiah. And we're going to begin reading in the first chapter. This is hopefully an encouraging but yet challenging message from the Word of God that would cause us to look like Isaiah did. He looked in, he looked out, and he looked up. And if we look up first, then it'll cause us to look in. And if we look in, it'll cause us to look out. Our text, like I said, will come from the first chapter of Isaiah, the first 12 verses. And then we're going to move on two fronts at the same time as we look into the text. The message of the prophet to a nation and a people, and an unfailing power of God's holy word to guide us today. Without taking the text out of context, we'll draw a comparison to our country and any nation that God has called to move his gospel message to all people. The first thing that we're going to consider in our text is the condition. The title of the text that I've named in our message is A Path to Healing. You know, as a body of believers, we go through many challenges. And there are times when we, like any other body, there's times when we feel good, and then there's times when conditions arise. And so I want us to look at us as a body tonight. And then we can look like Isaiah, and we can see three components working at the same time. The individual, that's you and me. We can look at the body of the church as a whole. And then we can look at a nation. And while we're doing this, we're going to look at different scriptures, so we'll have to move along pretty quick. So the faster you listen, the faster we'll get through. The condition is that we're all sick. In Isaiah, he speaks of a nation that was sick. Let's begin reading in the text, and then we'll move forward. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass is master's crib. But Israel does not know my people, that my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burning with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. And except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this of your hand to tread my courts? We're sick. That's what verse 5 says. It says that we should be stricken any more, that we revolt more and more, that the whole head is sick. So we'll look at the diagnosis here in 6 and 7. It says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But if the wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, even mollified ointments won't heal it. So there's no remedy in the land. There's men in Washington and in government and in our cities and in our capitals of our states. And there's leaders all around us. And yet our country is spiraling into chaos. And there's catastrophe at every hand. The word iniquity means lawless, where lawless abounds. And God gave his people a law, and they denied it. We learned that in Deuteronomy, even when Moses said that when you go into the land, you won't obey, and your enemy will come in. We learned that that's a punishment from God because he must judge sin. So what we see all around us in a nation is basically the judgment of God. A nation that turns his back on God, he said he'll cast it into hell. But there's hope. But we'll work through the condition. And if we look at this diagnosis, we see what God is saying that is there. It was the same in Israel, and it's the same today in America and all around the world. This leads us to feel condemned or to face judgment. And Isaiah chapter 3, turn if you would with me in your Bible over to the next few chapters of chapter 3. And we'll read some of the things that God will begin to do in his judgment. Beginning in verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judea to stay, and the staff, and the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water. It's pretty hard to function as a society if you don't have water and bread. A mighty man and a man of war, the judge, the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In the day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer. In my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to prove the eyes of his glory. The shoe of their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin in Sodom, and they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye unto the righteous that it shall be with well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, and the reward of his hand shall be given him. And as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. We can see that it sounds like you're reading the daily news, doesn't it? When you listen to what God is saying. He's been saying this to a people for thousands of years. Man is not progressing and moving upward just because he made a will and started a fire and crawled up out of a marsupial slime, as the scientist says, and dropped his tail and Then he became smart and flew to the moon, and he thinks he knows something. But man is digressing. Daniel says there's the elemental digression of man. The head, the breastplate, the girding, and the foot. It goes from gold to silver to iron and clay. And so we see the governments. These are symbols of the governments under the prophecy that when Daniel interpreted the dream of the great image that was before Nebuchadnezzar, we see that there is a digression of man because God in his eschatology is moving ever forward with his plan for this king, for this world. But he has a kingdom that has no end, and he's preparing a place, and he's left a remnant. We read that. And God is working and moving in places. And it's our discerning authority that God has given us through the Spirit of God to read the Bible more than we listen to the news, and to read our Bible more than we have opinion or conjecture of what we think's wrong with America or with our church or with other people that are around us. Sometimes it's better just to look within before we find those judgments. So with the condition, there's a cause. If we look in back in chapter 1 of Isaiah, we'll see in verse 2 what the cause was. The children, and they have rebelled against me. You ever seen a rebellious child? They won't mind. You know, that's an old term. They won't mind. But God said, let this mind be in you. So the word mind means to obey. But you have to have the right mind to mind. And a child can go wayward. The Bible says that even a child is known by his way. So we're not going to get away with it either. Each one of us are an open book. And it doesn't take long to be around someone when they start talking that they'll reveal their true nature. This is the word rebellion means to oppose authority. God laid a plan out for his people, and we all have went away. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid upon himself the lawlessness, the iniquity of us all. That includes me and you. All means all, and that's all it means. So let us not look at the problem. Let's look into our own wickedness. If you would, or you can follow along on the screen, Jeremiah 17 is going to teach us what the heart is. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in the man and make flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now here we go. This is where the heart is. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doings. Now you think about that. The Bible teaches us that it's in the heart of man to do wicked. Paul said, that which I would do is that which I hate. So I hate the things I do. He said his will is with me. It's present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So he found a new law that it was no longer him, but it was a sin that dwelled in him. You know, the new nature has no more power than the old nature if it's not being operated by the Spirit of God. Just because a man gets born, somebody asked me one time, you think a Christian get drunk? And I said, if he drinks enough beer, he can. There's no super duper saints that are protected from the evil one. This is his dominion. We're sojourners. We're the TCUs of the world. And we're in a fight. And God called us to put on his armor and not wrestle against flesh and blood. So it takes me further into my point that we need to not realize, we need to understand who we are and what the problem is. The problem is me. The problem is not what's going on around me. We see another problem that's the cause. It's called false religion. You know, there's an ecumenical movement that is sweeping over the land, and it calls for a universal God and a universal brotherhood. Hey, my brother, be careful who you call your brother, because not everybody's your brother. God said he didn't come to bring peace. He come to divide. There's a sword and it's dividing. And if we choose children and family and possessions and the things of this life, and we're set apart, we're peculiar. You know, that comes from the word, you ever heard the word procured? It means to be purchased. We're a purchased people. We're peculiar. And so we have a responsibility to see the purpose that God has made us for in his image. Ecclesiastes tells us that the whole sum of man is to obey God and glorify his name, to worship him, to lift him up. And this movement is in, we see in verse 12 of chapter 1, when ye come appear before me, who hath required this in your hand but to tread my courts? What purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Verse 11, unto me, saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or he goats. See, the method was wrong. God puts things into order. You got a problem with someone in the church? It's you. It's not who you think it is. Look, it's me. That's the problem. When I get my eyes off of the purpose God designed me for and I start looking at your faults, I fail, because that's not my mission in this church. God said to edify, to build up. We're part of a body. God puts leaders in place. Those people are appointed and anointed by God to do their job, and for us to look down our spiritual noses and think, well, I could do it better, is be careful. Oh, wicked man. The wickedness of a heart. Be careful. The political views and the secular God of this world. I got a story to tell you, something I wrote. It's on January the 7th, 2013. Y'all remember that day? I'm going to remind you, because it was a pretty important day in this church. I just left the funeral of a man that I did not know. But after the tribute of him, I felt as if I had known him most of my life. Pastor reflected on the life of a man that compared to Stephen. He loved one woman for 63 years, and he loved one God. And he shared him with everyone. He served his country in the Air Force, and he loved his church, and he served faithfully. I pray that only I could live my life with that type of passion and faithfulness. Do you know who I'm talking about? Who? C.L. Dobbs. Let's don't forget those that have gone before us. I didn't even know the man. He's impacted my life. He is in heaven. And his work is important. And when a church is wounded and hurt or divided, when people leave because they don't like the way something's done, or the preacher stands up and preaches, oh me or woe me. And I'm just going, I think Brother Frank said, I'm just going to turn to the next page. If it hits me, so be. If it hits you, so you. It's up to us to hear what God is saying. It's not up to man's opinion. It's not his understanding of himself that makes him right with God. It's his understanding of who he is before a holy God. So I pray that we remember those that have gone before us. The Bible teaches us in Romans from faith to faith. God is telling us that we have wearied him. Malachi 2:17 tells us that if ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have I wearied him? And when ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, where is the God of judgment? Listen, if God says, don't do this, and you say, it's okay to do that, you're wearying God. And God's man that stands in this pulpit and he declares the truth of God's holiness, he said, don't muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. If God's man is standing in this pulpit, your responsibility is to take heed to thus saith the Lord thy God in operation with the spirit that's working in you, to obey God and then to edify one another. That's our job. If something good doesn't come out of my mouth, even if it's a constructive criticism, then I don't need to say anything. I think our mamas taught us that when we were little. I'm old, so I don't know if we're still teaching that, but it's good doctrine. So we've looked at the condition, we've looked at the cause. Now let's look at the cure. The true church. God has a true church. There's a remnant. Look in verse 9 with me. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. You remember when Elijah had his little complex and he said, they tore down your altar and they killed your prophets, and I'm here standing alone. And God said, no, there's 7,000 that I have saved. God always, in every dispensation of the Bible, whether if you're in any time period, God has always saved a remnant unto himself. He said he'll never leave the earth without a witness. Even in the tribulation, there'll be a witness. And God is working and moving in a way. God saved people before the day of Pentecost. God's going to save people after the rapture. God is working from Genesis to Revelation. And he's a eternal God who went before us and made all things, and he's going to complete all things. And he's given us a faith, and he's authored that, and he'll complete that. And if we'll read his word, we'll sin less. The response, we should apply this daily like good medicine. 1 Timothy 2:1-4 tells us, I exhort thee therefore the first of all. See, there's his outline. That's the first thing that we should do is pray. Pray. Did you pray today? Did you talk to God? Thessalonians tells us to pray without ceasing. That means to walk in a continuous state of prayer, to walk in the Lord, to rejoice, to have a new song in your heart, to make melody and spiritual hymns and songs, and be glad in your heart, and let your face know it so that you can tell other people that you have hope. And that there's an eternal God that lives in me. And there's no gloom and doom, because we of all men would be most miserable if we didn't believe that Christ got up out of the grave and that he was resurrected, and the same power that resurrected him lives in me. And if I have that power, then no matter what I face, no matter what perilous times comes against me, no matter what challenges that endear me, I can stand in the face of it and say, I serve an eternal God who made everything and has gone before me, and who can lay charge against God's elect? God is with me. He's for me. He's for you. He's made a path for us. He leads us into a path of righteousness. Read his word and hide it in your heart, and you won't sin against God. Supplication. That means to beg, to beseech, to search. When's the last time you wept over your sin? You know, and this is a cultural or a conditioned, but you know, I notice we don't pray a lot here at this church at the altar. You know, this is the altar here. I think it was D.L. Moody that kind of instituted that. You know, and it could become a formality. Or it could be a tradition, or it could become something that, you know, that guy goes down there every Sunday, and but intercession, to pray. Don't you think we all have something to pray for tonight? When you look at the condition of the individual, I'm wicked. Look at the condition of the church, scattered. And look at the condition of a nation, it's in turmoil. If there's ever been a time to believe God and pray, it's tonight. They said, when's the best time to plant an oak tree? It's 20 years ago. But when's the next best time? Today. Let's begin to pray. Let's be a praying church that's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where's the power unto God unto salvation? Where people come and they hear the word of God and there's no hindrance or quenching the spirit. And that people can come in and hear the truth and they can feel the love and the nurturing of God's people loving one another and living in communion with one another. That'll draw a lost man to get saved. I think Brother Mike preached a sermon on that not long ago. It was a good message, brother. Keep going. Any good doctor, let me finish that text, excuse me. Intercession and giving thanks be made for all men. Who's that mean? Just the people I like? Y'all pray for Joe Biden? That's hard to do, isn't it? It's a command to God. Why? Because he's leading our nation. And if he doesn't have the ability to obtain the truth, then where can we find the power to do it? Right here, praying for him. And, you know, I'm just coming right out of the Word of God, take it up with God. And I have a trouble with it, too. I have to be honest with you. We're all subject to our fleshly conversations. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is the good and acceptable sight of God, in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. That's later, brother. Think about that. That's the power of it. That he would have all men to be saved. And how does he say that takes place? By us praying for the authority. I think of the children of Israel when they come out into the wilderness, out of Egypt. It said they blew that silver trumpet. And each man stood in his place. We all have a pecking order. Join the army if you don't believe it. They'll tell you what to do. And you have a chain of command. And God's in control. And he puts men in control. We just read in Isaiah the judgment is that he takes those things away from him. The orator, the great speaker. I mean, man, when I hear Brother Frank preach, it's like the Old Testament comes alive and I'm standing there with Moses. I can picture the trumpet when he's describing it. And all the tribes that were standing in their place. And the Shekinah glory of God before Moses wasn't leading it. The Shekinah of God was leading it. Moses was just in front, the mixed multitudes in the back. And you know, that's a beautiful picture. That each one of us can stand in our place. And if you don't believe a little toe is important to the body, go through the kitchen one night in the dark and hit it and see what your body does. Every one of you will hurt. We should hurt and share our burdens with one another. And we should care for one another. We should send supplication, begging God in intercessory prayer on our knees to a holy God together. Praying for our pastor, our associate pastor, and for God to unite his people and to walk with a vision, with a single purpose, with all things common, singleness of heart, all in one accord. And that's not a Honda. And we should love one another as God has commanded us to love ye one another as I have loved ye. So like any good doctor, he gives instruction along with medicine. So let's go back to our text. And we look in Isaiah chapter 1, 16 through 20. And this we find confession. And we see right here, it says, wash you, make ye clean, put away the evil of your doings. Go back to this. From before my eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead with the widow. Come now and let us reason together. And saith the Lord, though the sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In this, we see confession, reasoning together with God. When God says it's sin and I say it's not, I'm in rebellion to God. When I say it's sin because God called it sin, I'm confessing to God. He said, if you confess your sins unto God, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's putting me back in a right standing. Not only does He forgive me, He removes it. He cleanses me so that I can walk further with God in holiness. Repentance, put away evil. That's to turn. Somebody said it was turning 360 degrees. They meant 180. So turn from your sin. Do a 180 and turn back the other way. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10 tells us, for they themselves show of this what manner of entering into we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Folks, we're not going through the tribulation. We're going to be called out. Read Revelation chapter 3:22. That's the end of it for the church. Then it goes to the 24 elders in heaven. So let me tell you something. We're not going through the wrath, but we're called to be obedient. And what did they do? They didn't turn from their idols to God. Because if I did that, I'd probably turn back to my idol. Because I wouldn't have the power. His will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. He that began a good work in you shall be able to perform it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not you, it's not me, it's God. And Christ is in us. And the Spirit of God will perform what He's called us to do. He that He calls, He equips. And so if I turn from my idol to God, I'm going to turn back to my idol. They turn to God and God removed the idol. That's how it works. That's the way that we come to God because He's the power. He removes sin. He's the only one that can forgive sin. God gives us an ultimatum in this. He tells us in verse 19 and 20 of chapter 1. I'll read it. And it says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's your option. It's an ultimatum. And God has given us the ability to make that choice. Now, we've looked at the cause, we've looked at the condition, the cause, and the cure. But now we can see that there's a prognosis. You know, we've had a diagnosis, now we'll see a prognosis. You know, eschatology is a big word, but it just means end things or things in the future. But it's also the eschatology of the individual, the church, and a nation. We should look within. To be determined by our call, we have a response and an action as an individual. If the church is to grow, you and I as an individual must come to the place where we reason with God and confess our sin. Then God will work in us, cause us to repent, lead us into a right path for His name's sake, and then the body will heal. And God will raise up a people. And it'll go out into a community and heal the land. That's a pretty simple trajectory that God has put us on a course in. That's our call. Let me conclude this by leaving us with this hope from God's holy word. Let us grow from faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11, 5 through 10 tells us, for by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Because God has translated him, for before he translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You ever went to Chick-fil-A and they say, my pleasure? It's a pleasure to serve, isn't it? You don't get no pleasure out of complaining about your chicken sandwich because it wasn't cooked right and you had two pickles on it and you wanted three. There's no pleasure in that. It's a pleasure to say, here, would you like my sandwich? I'll go get another one. Serve one another. Let's serve well. Let's serve each other. Let's serve our pastors. Let's serve our community. Let's serve our state. And let's change our nation. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, that's faith, moved with fear, prepared an ark to saving of his house, and by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place in which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned into the land of promise, as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and their heirs with him in the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Faith without works is dead. What type of work is that? It's the work of faith. I like to do a play on words. Look up Galatians 5:6. Do you have that, Howard? For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which operates or works by love. Love. That's the answer. God commanded us to love one another. He said, you can speak with the tongues of men and angels and you can move mountains, but if you don't love, people are going to look at you like, man, that's a loud clanking sound over there. Let's take a little time to slow down, take off the agenda, rest a little in the Lord. Look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. If we draw near unto God, he'll draw near unto you, and then he'll empower you to love one another, that we may love each other and express it by cooking a meal, inviting into my home, and sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was his shed blood on the cross that was the propitiation for our sin, the sacrifice, the substitute, the mercy seat, that he called me into his kingdom. And I have an abundant life in John 10:10 that I will live forever with God. And I declare him Lord tonight, and I know you do too. And I pray that we run the race with patience, and we fight the good fight, and we continue not to look back, but move forward in the things that God has commanded, the high calling, the upward calling of God, because he's declared unto us that we are his sons and daughters, and that we have the power within us to speak the truth to all people, that no man should teach you. God equips us with his holy word, and if we'll open it up and study, it's like my professor told me in college one time. He said, the answers are not going to come up through the duck feathers of your pillow. You got to open the book and you got to read it. Galatians 5:6 teaches us that. Colossians 1:10 through 14. This is the challenge, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to his glorious power, and all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father which hath made us to meet him and be partakers in the inheritance in the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now that excites me. I've been delivered. I've been made free, not set free. You set concrete and jello. You were made free. That's metamorphosed. There's a change. You can set a wild dog free and he'll still bite you. But you and I have been, and words matter. Semantics are important. Words matter. Look it up. There's a definition in the dictionary of each one of them. And the Greek and the Hebrew and studying words. And we have a lot of Bible scholars in here, men that and women that know the word of God. When we put it in our heart and we walk together and we love one another, God will build something in this place special, and God's searching for the heart who's toward him. And I pray tonight that we'll have a love for God, a love for people, and a desire to share the good news to the lost, and that we'll make a difference in this life. Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, as we come to this time where we reflect on the words that you have spoken in our hearts through the Word of God, that they will pierce like a two-edged sword, even the dividing of the soul and the sunder and the joint and the marrow. And that, God, that you are the discerner of the intents of the heart. And that, God, that you would cause each one of us to look in with a perfect look from your Spirit, to cause us to know that you're our Redeemer and that you liveth. And, Lord, that you are one day soon coming back again to bring us home and establish us forever, which your kingdom has no end. And we're thankful for that promise, and our hope is in it. And Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've gathered here tonight in your name to love you, to learn of you, and to love one another and to grow in faith together in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, church.